Here now a reading from the Hebrew Bible. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in event of the war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape our land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built city supply, Pithom and Ramses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard servitude in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom's name was Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." So God dealt well with all the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrew, you shall throw him in the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bittim and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the banks of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In January 2017, Fox 2000 released its blockbuster film, Hidden Figures, featuring our own Dennis Jewett's niece, Lydia Jewett, in her first professional film role. The movie tells the biographical story of three black women mathematicians who each in their own way made a major impact on the early days of the NASA space program. Their names, Katherine Goebel Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson, went largely unsung for most of their lives. Yet these three hidden figures helped put John Glenn into space, Neil Armstrong on the moon, and countless other women and blacks into aeronautics and engineering. This morning, we are given four other hidden figures, Hebrew women who helped Moses be born and kept him from being killed. Shiphrah and Puah were the Hebrew midwives who refused to obey the genocidal orders of Pharaoh. They were the ones who allowed the Israelite boys to live, fearing not Egypt's Pharaoh, but only their own God. I love what they said to Pharaoh when they were called to the carpet for their acts of civil disobedience. "Oh, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women," they said, "for they are vigorous. And they give birth before we midwives can even get there." You know, they say well-behaved women seldom make history. Shiphrah and Puah remind me of an old black woman named Bessie, whom Maya Angelou used to tell of when she talked about the Montgomery bus boycott. Bessie was a domestic worker serving in a white family when Rosa Parks got arrested and blacks started walking everywhere they went in the city rather than riding its segregated buses. One day, Bessie's white employer called her to the carpet. "Bessie," she said, "I hope you are not supporting that bus boycott. You've been with me so long, I'd hate to think you would take a rebellious attitude like that." Bessie replied, "Oh, no, ma'am, not me. I'm not supporting that bus boycott at all. No, ma'am." She then went on, "You know, my son, he works over there for the power company across town from where we live. And I told my son, too, I said, you don't have nothing to do with that bus boycott. You walk every step of the way to your job. And my grandchildren, they're going to school over there at the junior high school on the other side. And I told them, I said, you ignore that bus boycott. You just walk. And me, if nobody from my church picked me up to come over here, well, no, ma'am. I just say, I won't have nothing to do with that bus boycott. I'm going to walk to work. Yes, ma'am." Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was the Moses of the Montgomery bus boycott. But Miss Bessie was a hidden figure behind him. And so too was Rosa Parks. And so too was a woman named Joanne Gibson Robinson, the president of the Black Communities Women's Political Council, who, when Mrs. Parks was arrested, came up with the idea of the bus boycott and spent all Friday night mimeographing and distributing 50,000 copies of a flyer calling on the black community to stay off of the buses on Monday morning. On Monday, the city's buses were empty and the modern civil rights movement had begun. When we think of the Civil Rights Movement or the Exodus, the names of Dr. King and Moses immediately come to our minds. But lesser known are the Shiphrahs and Puahs, without whom Moses would never have been born, or the Bessies, without whom there never would have been a boycott, much less a civil rights movement. Martin had a dream because Rosa had had enough. And Moses was able to cross the Red Sea because the midwives were willing to first cross Pharaoh. And after Moses was born, his mom and his sister, extra Bible points for anyone who can tell me their names after the service, without using Google or AI or asking Siri or Alexa or Pastor Fran, they both got into the act. And they hatched a plan to put that little baby boy in a bassinet. The actual word is ark. And sail him on the water over to the reeds where Pharaoh's daughter was bathing by the river. And Pharaoh's daughter heard that little Hebrew baby boy's cry, and she stooped down and she pulled him out from the water, and she made him her own son in Pharaoh's own house. So there was now a third and a fourth and even a fifth hidden figure to help Moses. And this last one was not herself even a Hebrew, but a member of Pharaoh's own family. It's a good reminder that even in the house of the stone hardened heart of Pharaoh, there may still yet be someone with a soft heart of flesh. Lord, hear our prayers. The Exodus story is replete with amazing and miraculous events that lead to the Israelites' liberation. There's the burning bush and the magical staff and the Nile that turns red with blood and the ground that turns green with frogs. And there's the flies and the locusts which blacken the blue skies and the angel of death that darkens the Egyptian homes. The waters are parted. The Hebrew children pass over. Pharaoh's army is drowned. All these great and mighty events are miraculous acts performed by Moses and Aaron and God in the book of Exodus. But before any one of these great and mighty acts, there were first these little concealed acts performed by all of these hidden figure women. For the Exodus did not begin with Moses saying, "Let my people go," and then parting the Red Sea. It began with Shiphrah and Puah and Moses' mother and his sister saying, "Let our boy live," and then casting him upon a sea of reeds. You know, there's no indication in the scripture that any one of these women had any inkling that one day little Moses would grow up to be great big Moses. They had no idea that he was the one who would lead the Exodus. Shiphrah and Puah were just God-fearing women who refused to participate in the genocide of their own people. Moses was 80 years old when he came back from wandering in the wilderness to lead his people out of Egypt. So the midwives probably never even knew who it was that they had saved. And Moses' mom was just another Hebrew mother trying to give her little baby boy the best chance she could. She had no idea that he would be the one who would grow up to deliver their people. All she was trying to do that day was deliver him. So let us be mindful of the things that we ourselves are doing today. Those little acts, our own little acts of birthing and midwiving and raising, and yes, resisting. For they may be the very beginning of a great, great civil and human rights movement. Or they may amount to absolutely nothing at all. But in either case, we do them because, like Shiphrah and Puah, we too fear God. And because of the little things, the hidden things, well, those are the right things to do. You say the little efforts I make will do no good. They never will prevail to tip the hovering scale that justice keeps in balance. I don't ever think I said that they would. But I am prejudiced beyond debate in favor of my right to choose which side shall feel the stubborn ounces of my weight. Shiphrah and Puah and Moses' mother and sister and even Pharaoh's own daughter, each and all added the stubborn ounces of their own weight in this world. They leaned in and they resisted and they assisted. They too helped deliver Israel. And long before God came down and said, I have heard my people's cry and have now come to deliver them, they too heard the Hebrews' cry. And they acted. These five hidden figures were the first heroes behind the Hebrew flight. They were the Rosa Parks of their times. And the mothers and midwives and allies of a movement that is still being born today. May God bless the memory of these good women. May they rest in peace. And may they rise in power. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say, Amen. Amen.